Want to ask you a question. How many of you guys would consider yourselves to be rule followers? I'm a rule follower, no doubt about it. I'm one of those people that, you know, like, speed limit is 55. I'm only going to go 60, maybe 62, you know. So I'm like, I guess I'm a rule follower with that. I don't know. But for the most part, I kind of like to follow the rules and kind of play it fair, play it right, you know, kind of thing. Try not to really be too renegade and go off on things very much. But how many of you guys ever remember, this might date you a little bit, but when you were a kid, how many of you guys ever played a game and you said you played it fair and square? Fair and square. No, I won that game and I played it fair and square is what you'd say. So I remember saying that, you know, it was when you won legitimately, like you knew I was legit, man, I won for sure. Well, that saying has actually been around since the 16th century. And it's actually used to describe competition that's won by no deception, no cheating. So winning something fair and square means that you played and you followed all the rules, right? You did it right. What the rules told you to do, you followed them and you did it all the way, fair and square. Square actually means honest, too. I don't know if you know that. And when someone says, you're being honest with me, you say, man, I'm being square with you, man. I'm being square. And that would be another phrase you could use, too. So it's honest and truthful. So a lot of us, though, don't really like it when we have to follow the rules. You know, if you start playing a game, you're like, these pesky little things that I have to do, like follow the rules, is not fun. Sometimes we want to just do things our own way and go off on our own way. But the rules are actually there for clarity. And what they're there for is to ensure that the game is played fair and square in the proper way, right? So because without the rules, we wouldn't really know how to win, how to get to the win, and we definitely wouldn't know who won at the end if we didn't have rules. And without rules, there's only chaos. There's just chaos, confusion when you don't know what the rules are. Chaos means complete disorder, confusion. And I think confusion always comes out of chaos. There's always this confusion that happens. And whenever there's chaos and confusion, you can't really determine who it is that's winning in something. So like I said, this is the second week in this series called Game of Life. And last week, if you were here, what I asked was, you have to determine what it is that you would consider your win. You know, when you look at your life and you get to the end, the end game, what's your end game going to be? If you say, okay, I won or lost, how are you going to determine that? So what you're aiming at is your win. So if your aim is to get more money, then obviously you're going to go for more money. If your aim is to have a really healthy relationship, then you're going to work at that. If your aim is to have a really strong relationship with God, then that's going to be your win, right? So confusion, though, like I say, it comes out of chaos. And a lot of times what happens is we really don't have our win in mind. And a lot of times also, too, we don't necessarily always follow the rules. So we kind of get off track a little bit. I kind of titled this message in my mind, Fair and Square, because I think there really has to be some rules in which that we need to follow if we do truly want to win. And I say truly win because I think there's a lot of people that really don't care if they truly win. They just are really satisfied with just having the participation ribbon. You know, you've all seen those, right? You know, the idea is like, well, we can't let everybody, you know, no, not everybody can win, so we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. So what we're going to do is we're going to tell you is all that you can just have a participation ribbon. Well, I want you to know, in God's world, participation ribbon is not enough. You need to be a winner and not a loser. But I wanted to start off with this little idea. When you were a kid or you played games, a board game with a kid, I'm sure you have seen that they have cheated or you've cheated. You know, it doesn't take very long before you can see a little kid in their mind, man, they want to win at all costs. So their plan is they will cheat and they will lie and they will take whatever it costs at all costs to win the game. You know, you're going to see them moving their pieces a little farther than they should, or maybe taking an extra spin or an extra roll of the dice, or, you know, they'll tell you it's their turn when they know it's not their turn because they want to win at all costs. And if they don't win, what happens usually is they just burst into tears, right? You know, a little silence, he'll burst into tears, and it's always so sad to me. But, you know, at some point, you guys have to decide, you know, do you let them win or do you let them know that life is going to be rough? And it's going to be rough. So it's like sometimes you just got to be the person that says, nah, that was a cheat. You can't do it that way. You can't play the game that way. You know, I think a lot of us kind of still live life in that same manner. Sometimes the thing is, you know what, we don't like it, and we cheat, and we lie. And a lot of times we're cheating in this game of life, and a lot of us really haven't grown up and got past that point of just wanting to get through the game and always try to pretend as though you're a winner when you really know you're not. Well, if you're listening online or if you're here today, I'm going to make the assumption that you're probably a little bit concerned about your faith and maybe you're concerned about God. And if you're not, I just really hope that you can kind of get something from this. I think that there's something you can get regardless. I want to apologize because I do have a cold, so if you have to deal with me through that, I'm sorry. But one thing we have to know that in the game of life and other board games that you play, it's always necessary to read the rules, right? If you sit down to play a new game, you have to read the rules before you begin to play so you can determine who it is that will ultimately win. Yesterday, it was kind of timely because Silas just got a new board game called, it's from Wildkratts, and we went over, me and John, to play the game with him. It took more time to read the rules than it did to play the game. It took forever. Very, very difficult game. Trying to figure out who gets what token you get, and all this. So it was a lot of rules. But you have to know the rules before you play because you don't know who's going to win if you don't. Or somebody else declared a winner and they're really not. Not too long ago also, I played a game of Uno with the kids and ACT students. And I was kind of concerned because I thought, I'm starting to play the game, and I'm seeing that they're playing a little different than I am. And I thought, well, this isn't how I was ever taught or how I played, and that's how they were taught. Went to find out that there is over 551 versions of the game Uno. Did you know that? I did not know that. 551 versions of the game Uno, which doesn't make sense, guys, because it's Uno. Uno, okay? Doesn't make sense. But the point that I want to make is that you have to agree, when you go sit down to play a game with somebody, you have to agree on the rules before you start, right? Because if one person's playing by a set of rules and the other person's playing by a different set of rules, you're never going to declare the winner in the correct way. So in board games, we have to know what the rules are. In real life, we have to know what the real rules are. Because if we don't, confusion abounds. Relationships. Very important to know the rules before you start setting out on life together. If you have a different set of rules in which to follow, you're going to be very, very upset if someone doesn't follow the rules in which the way that you want to play the game. And so you're going to be really upset with them. It's like you're not playing the game the way that I want to play the game. Well, I think it's obvious that a lot of us aren't playing the same game, the same rules in this life that we're living today. I mean, it doesn't take much. You just watch television a little bit, and you can see that there is so much chaos and confusion out there in the world because people don't necessarily believe that there's certain rules that people are following and some people aren't following. So there's this real big discrepancy in how it is that we would declare a winner in life. You know, I think if you ever played a game with someone who refuses to play by the rules, it is totally frustrating, isn't it? You ever play a game with somebody who's like, no, you can't go there, and they're like, what? You're supposed to go clockwise around. You're not supposed to go, and they're like, well, I'm just going to go counterclockwise. It's like, you can't. And they're like, why not? And then they're saying, well, I'm just going to take another turn. And you're like, but you can't. That's not how you play the game. And they literally just go, yeah. So frustrating. Because you can't reason with them, can you? I mean, you're like, how do you get through and say, but they're not the rules. And they just look at you like, I don't care about your rules. And I think that's what's happening today in the world. I think in this real game of life, this is what goes on all the time, isn't it? Between us who say we're followers, and some people that aren't following, and then just some other people with other religions, and all the different things that goes on, the real struggle is that we're not playing by the same rules. It's different. But I think what we have to do is we have to think about what rules it is that we're going to follow as we start to live life. Like I said, you have to know your win. What is your win? But you also have to decide for yourself, what are the rules that you're going to live by? What rules are your non-negotiables? What are the things you're saying, like, when you're in a relationship with someone that's like, this is what I want us to work towards together, so that we ultimately, when you become one, can win? Or in your finances in a relationship, what are we working towards? What are the rules we're going to follow? Obviously, if we do call ourselves followers of God, and like I said, not all of you maybe are there, but for someone who says that their faith is really important to them and that they're following after God, we believe that God is the one who created the game, right? This game of life was created by God. So the person who creates the game creates the rules, right? So it's his rules that we're supposed to follow. And I think it's interesting because a lot of times what we do in our faith is we sit there and say, yes, okay, I'm a follower of God. And yes, God set up the rules, but then a lot of times we go renegade and we think, well, I'm going to do things my way instead. And he says, but I kind of gave you the rules. And then all we do is kind of go like this. Eh. And then we wonder why things don't go well for us. And a lot of times we get to the very end and we realize we're losers, not winners. You know, I think that God actually created a way for us to follow him so simply. And I think a lot of times we just don't really take those things into consideration, how simple he made it. He really did make this simple. I think a lot of times we just complicate it. A lot of times because we just don't follow, and then we try to get him to, you know, make us be winners out of us being losers. And then we're really frustrated by that. But like I said, he made things so simple. Simple for us to understand. He says, if we can come to him as a child, simple faith, and that we can follow him in a simple way. The thing that's really great about God is, too, is he made it so simple, and he actually created this way of following him at the very beginning of time, and he's never changed it. It's still the simple way. From the way the game was created long ago, the game is still the one we're playing today. It might look different, you know, as whereas some people maybe are dressing different or acting different, driving different cars, you know, not taking a camel or a horse. You know, things might look different, but they really are the same. Unlike Monopoly, did you know that Monopoly got rid of the boot, the wheelbarrow, and the thimble? I was so disappointed. You know what they replaced him with? A T-Rex, a rubber ducky, and a penguin. This is a really good snapshot of who we are today. We're getting rid of all aspects of work, thimbles, wheelbarrows, boots. Just give me my rubber ducky. That's all I want. It's really kind of sad when you think about it, isn't it? That's our society and that's where we're at. Well, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So, hey, hello, the game was created by God. And there's going to be people who are going to disagree with me and say, but that's not the case. I kind of think that it just happened in the stars. Or somehow you became an amoeba, became a person, became this, whatever. You know, this is why we have struggles, right? Because people believe in different things. Revelation 4:11. So right from the very beginning, Genesis 1:1 says God created the heavens and the earth. Revelation, the very last chapter, says you are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased. So, if we're followers of God, if we say we love God, if we say that we have a relationship with Jesus, we really need to understand that if we believe that, if we truly, really believe that, then we really do ourselves a disservice when we don't follow his rules. And I think people really have a struggle with that sometimes. I don't know what it is. We're always trying to follow different rules or some other new rule or trying to go our own way. And I think sometimes we must really frustrate God. You know, when he tells us what to do, and a lot of times we just go, eh, I'm going to do what I want, when I want, how I want. And he says, but I made it so easy for you to understand how you can win if you would follow this way. Follow my rules. Well, he started out by giving us these simple rules called the Ten Commandments. Obviously given to Moses. You know, he was given to him first, and they were supposed to bring him down and tell the people, these are the rules in which to live by. Exodus 20 in the Bible, if you ever want to look them up. I think most of us would say that we've heard the Ten Commandments, but I think if I probably quizzed you all up here, myself included, I'd still struggle with trying to come up with all 10. And they're really simple, but yet we still struggle. I don't know why. But one, have no gods, other gods before me. Two, you shall not make idols of any other god. Three, don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Four, remember to keep the Sabbath day holy, which means a day that which that you serve God, whether it be Sunday, Saturday, a day, that you would actually keep it holy and praise God. Five, honor your father and mother. Six, don't murder. Seven, don't commit adultery. Eight, don't steal. Nine, don't lie. And 10, don't covet. I think a lot of people would look at those rules today and would say, well, they're really outdated. You know, we all lie. We all lie to try to get ahead. You know, it's just what we do in life now. Lying's not so bad if it gets you to where you want to be. Some people would say that, well, relationships aren't that important, that we don't have to be pure in our relationships, that we can commit adultery. It's no big deal. We can go off and do whatever we want, that we can take something. If we don't have enough, that we have all the right. We can go take what other person has if we want it badly enough. And you can see that there's a lot of misthinking. People that just don't want to follow the rules. I think a lot of us would say, yeah, okay, I'm not going to get to the point, I won't murder God. I'll give you that one. And then he says, but maybe you do. Because he actually says, if we hate, that actually is a form of murder. And we all are guilty of hate. I don't care who you are. We a lot of times struggle with that. You know, I think a lot of times, like I said, people would say that those 10 rules are out of date. They're outdated. That's old school, man. That's old school Jesus, old school Bible. That's not something we play by today. And then they a lot of times will say, well, when Jesus come, you know, he fulfilled all that. It's all over. It's like, I want you to understand what it actually says in Matthew 5, 17 through 19. It says, don't misunderstand. These are Jesus' words. Don't misunderstand why I've come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. Hello, Ten Commandments. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. He actually says, no, the Ten Commandments are still very effective for us to live by. The rules are still there. They're still important to live by. He says, I just came to kind of like accomplish them, to fulfill them, to show you that through me, you can live those things out. But like I said, because we're so renegade, we're always like looking for easier ways. It's like, okay, those are those rules, but 10 rules, God? That's a lot. How do I handle 10 rules? You know, he has to be up there just rolling his eyes like, oh my gosh, you guys, it's 10. Two hands, you can count them, man. It's not that much. But it's funny because he actually has this experience where these religious leaders come up and ask him this question. They ask Jesus, which commandment of the 10 is the most important? Because we're like, well, maybe we could just do one. You know, we could just follow that one. And he actually says, okay, I'm going to take the 10 and I'm going to bring it down to 2. Maybe you can remember this one. If I give you 10 and take it to 2, maybe the 2 you can live by. It says in Mark 12, 29 through 31, it says, Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Interesting, isn't it? He says, okay, you can't handle 10. I'm going to give you 2. And he actually does something really amazingly brilliant. He actually puts those 2, and they actually combine all 10. Because what it is if you take the first 4 commandments, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that's what you're going to do. You're going to take those first 4 commandments where you're going to love God, only God. you're only going to bow down to that God. You're never going to take his name in vain. You're going to show him respect and honor and glory. And you're also going to keep the Sabbath day holy, right? And then what he does is he takes the other six, and he takes those last six, and he says, then also, you're going to love others the way you should. Love your neighbor as yourself. See, then he says, if you do that, if you love others as you love yourself and love your neighbor as yourself, you're going to remember to honor your father and mother. You're going to not murder. You're not going to commit adultery. You're not going to steal. You're not going to lie. And you're not going to covet, which means to like want everything else that everybody has and always be jealous. So God is this amazing God creator who creates the game and gives us these rules because we're so dense that we can't handle 10. He gives us 2. And he says, now surely they can handle the 2, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Unfortunately, we still fail, still play the game wrong, still think we're going to win when we do stupid things and we fail and we should lose and do lose. And I think he probably is thinking, oh my gosh, these people can't even follow 2 rules. 2 is too hard. 2. So he says it this way instead. Matthew 7:12. Do unto others what you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. Interesting, isn't it? He says the essence. The essence meaning the basic real nature of something. It's basically what lies underneath all those rules. Why we follow those rules. Why we would want to follow and play the game the way God would want us to. So what he does is he just basically says, listen, these 10 commandments, if you treat others the way you would want to be treated, that's all I ask. Play the game fair. Play it to win. And I think if we would do that, our lives would totally be different. You know, you think about it, when he talks about the commandments, if you talk about the first 4, like I said, if you were God, if you were him, wouldn't you want to be number one? If you'd say, I'm God, follow me, you would want to be number one. You would want to be honored. You would want to be respected by people's words, actions, and time. You would want that. So the thing is, if we would treat God the way that we would want to be treated as God, we would be different. That you, as a mother and father, you would want to be honored and respected by your kids, wouldn't you? You would want that. So we should respect and honor our mother and father. That you would value life, that you wouldn't throw it away, that you treat it with care and respect. That's what we would do. That you would want the person that made a vow to you to remain faithful to you in marriage. We wouldn't just think we could do what we want, when we want, how we want, with who we want. That we would think, no, I would want that person to remain faithful to me, so I should remain faithful to them. That you wouldn't want people to steal from you, lie about you, worry and want all that you have and try to take it from you. See, the thing is, it's all at the essence. The essence was always there at the very beginning of time in the 10 Commandments. It was always there. It's just then it seemed like it was a law and a rule. But God just says, no, this is a lifestyle. This is how I want you to treat people. This is how I want you to show love and compassion and gentleness. You know, I think it's interesting that we call that the golden rule. And I think it's so valuable. And I think it's one of those best things you could ever teach to your kids from the very beginning when they first start walking and crawling and doing all the things that they're going to do. It's like, treat others like you would want to be treated. Now, I know we're failures at that. And no matter how far along I've gotten on this road of following after God, I fail at this all the time. A lot of times I'm not kind when I should be kind. A lot of people that I deal with, I'm not as patient as I should be, even though I wish that they could be more patient with me. I fail, I screw up, I want God to give me grace, but a lot of times when other people screw up and do something wrong about me, I don't want to give them grace. But that's what God wants. God wants us to look at people and love them in a way that we would show grace, respect, love, care, because we would want the same things. And I think it's sad, isn't it, that we want other people to treat us a certain way, but yet we struggle so much with treating them the same way that we would want to be treated. You know, it's amazingly simple when you think about it. Like I said, 10 becomes 2, 2 becomes 1, the golden rule. Super important. You guys ever heard about the KISS acronym? Keep it simple. Sally, Sam, I'm not going to call you stupid because I wouldn't want to be called stupid, right? But the essence at the core, the very core of the commandments is treating God and others the way you would want to be treated. And that's what's most important. Treating people with honor, treating people with love, respect, sacrifice, sacrifice. We are so worried about being number one all the time. Be satisfied with being last, at least second, if you can't do last, you know? Let some people go first. Show grace. I don't know how many times I've been at a four-way stop that I've had people just barrel at me when they're like, I'm first. It's like, well, get there first. Whatever. Go ahead. You know, it's like people are crazy. Humbleness. Humbleness. Not pride. Not thinking you have to be number one, but instead treating others in the way that you would want to be treated. So I ask you today, what rules are you following? Whose rules? Are you doing God's rules, or are you kind of mixing in some of the world's rules? Maybe your own rules, and then you're trying to make it all work out. Understand that just causes confusion, chaos. The people around you are confused. Your loved ones are confused. It's like, just get a simple path to treat others the way you would want to be treated, because that is the very best way you can live. Truly, I think to get done and be able to say to God, I won fair and square, God. Fair and square. I did what you wanted me to do with your help is what I tried to do. So let me pray for you. God, you are so good and so patient and so kind, and we are so thankful for your grace that you give us, Lord God. I know you see us over and over and over again failing and not doing what we're supposed to do, not treating people the way that they need to be treated. I pray that you'd forgive us of that, Lord. Help us to be able to be refocused and just really, really tuned in to being that person, Lord God, who would let others go first and go out of our way for people and treat them with kindness and love. I pray that you would help us, Lord God, be those people. We thank you, Father, that you are so loving and so good to help us to become the people you want us to be. We thank you for all things in Jesus' name.